Welcome to the Outdoor Panel Podcast, where we talk about chasing critters, catching fish, of course, hunting and fishing stories, and a lot of BSing.
It's like a beast. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast one. Holy cow.
Welcome to this week's episode, where we continue talking about hunting and fishing stories from the past. We continue to have a lot of fun, and hopefully you guys enjoy the rest of this series. All right, Tonson, you got anything sketchy?
So it was probably, my first year, like, full season hunting. I think it was, like, September, Northwoods. And, I had done, like, e-scouting, looking for, you know, the stuff that I'd been told on podcasts and everything. So, like, I had found this marsh before the season. I decided I'm going to go preset a stand out there. And I found this island in the middle that had, like, some, you know, nice trees on it. But on the edge, there wasn't really anything too great to set up in. So I set a stand in. Well, the day came that I was going to hunt. So I got out there in the morning pretty early. And I get to the stand. And I get up in it, and the tree was bent like angled down, and I had set the stand on the downward angle. So I get in and I'm like slipping, trying to keep in. So I get out, turn the stand to the other side so that at least I can get up in there. And about an hour goes by, and like, this tree was just blowing everywhere. And I'm like, man, this can't be normal. And I was, like, holding on, because it was a birch tree. So it was, like, swinging pretty good. And I was, like, just hugging onto the tree. I ended up sticking it out until, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I got down and I walked out. And when I got back, because I didn't really have reception out there. So when I got back to my car, I had reception. I checked my weather app. It was a wind advisory, some of those, like, straight, you know, those, I don't even know what they call them, but there was, like, 60 and 70 mile an hour wind gusts in the area. I was just, I was happy I got out of there, but it scared the living shit out of me being up in that tree for as long as I was. So.
Yeah, that's sketchy. I like it. I got another sketchy story. It was just a sketchy hunt. So this is like opening week in Wisconsin. It was, I think it was 2016, 95 degrees opener, Wisconsin. And I ended up heading out to this marsh, and it was so hot and muggy. I was miserable. I freaking overheated. I was dehydrated. I had lack water. And I found there's water surrounding me, and I found, like, you know, one of those high buck bedding spots in the marsh. And I'm like, I need to take a nap. So I literally took a nap on this little deer bed mound. I was like, yeah, I'm going to use it for bedding too. I was exhausted. So
or
I ended up finding a tree, and it was the shittiest tree ever. And this is when I was inexperienced with hang-ons. And I'm like, I think I can get on this in this tree. And I'm like, I won't be that high up, so I don't need a fucking safety harness. So I try set my stand up. And this is before I knew you had to, like, push it down to, like, cam lock it. Well, as I get into the stand just fucking flips on me. I just fucking launch right into the marsh face first. Like, I'm fucking covered in mud. It's 95 fucking degrees out. I just fell like 6 feet out of this tree. I was like, holy shit. All right. This opened my eyes to marsh hunting when it's freaking 95 degrees out. Like, that was brutal. That was noobing it right there.
I had a pretty sketchy one. Me and my brother were up north
in the normal like area we usually hunt, and they went through, and somebody had this big giant buddy stand that was all the guy used like 17 padlocks to keep it on the tree, and it was in a pine planting that had just been cut. And so me and my brother are back there scouting, and they kind of select cut the planting. We're like, I wonder if that guy's stand's still there. Well, actually, that guy's stand, that tree, we had a windstorm go through, and it got knocked over. So there's this, you know, big dead pine with this tree stand locked to it. And we're like, oh, man, that guy's going to be so pissed. So we went back in there the next year to figure that out and see what happened back there. And the loggers went, and they cut a foot above and a foot below his chain. And so me and my brother looking at each other like, dude, we could put this thing back up, and I don't know, we'll sit in it rifle season, who cares, right? You know, so we're sitting there, and we get it up, jimmy it off this tree, lean it up against it, and when we use the ratchet straps that were there, and we're looking at it, we're like, huh. But there was one little tree that was in the way, and I was going to jimmy up it and like grab the top of it and just kind of bend it over, because it was just a little pine. Well, I got about 6 feet off the ground doing my little Spider-Man move. And then next thing you know, I'm laying flat on the ground. And I look, and the only thing I notice is, you know, climbing like a little red pine, they got all them dead shit on the bottom. Well, that took me like down my wrist, like, you know, where you got all the veins where, you know, you can slit your wrist, bleed out and all that shit. But it didn't go across my veins. It went down.
Oh, fuck.
But it just broke the skin and didn't like actually like go puncture the skin completely. You know, it's just got one of those like raised abrasions. And I'm looking at my brother and I'm freaking out. I'm like, this thing's about to pop and I'm going to bleed out right here. You know, like, don't cross the river, run the river, you know, or whatever they say. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just ran the river. I'm dead. So it doesn't start to bleed, but I freak out. And I remember my brother saying like, dude, you almost hung your nuts on that tree. And I was like, what? Get back to the truck. And I look down and my pants, I got jeans on, and my pants are ripped from my knee all the way up to the tip of my boxers. I caught it on a branch on the way down, almost lost my sack on the tree.
Cool. Oh,
yeah, I bought a saw after that. That was sketchy.
Yeah, that hurts. That makes me hurt right now.
Yeah, dude, I got really lucky just doing, you know, dumb stuff that you don't really think about. And then next thing you know, you got a deer tying in your leg and you're bleeding all over Iowa.
That too. Did your thought come back to you, Zeb?
I can't remember what thought I was talking about. I got some bear stories. I've had some close encounters with bears. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ran into too many bears or not, but I almost stepped on one in a deer drive. That was cute. We were in the middle of the swamp, and I took one step, and like two more steps, I walked right on him, and he got up, and he took off, and I'm yelling, holy fuck. You know, because adrenaline's just going, and, you know, it's so thick. We're in the middle of a tag alder green swamp, and everyone else is on high alert because they're thinking I'm yelling big buck. And they can't understand why I can't calm down. And I got adrenaline going through the fucking roof. It was just insane. And then, like, I can't see anything, you know. And I'm looking around like, all right, he's coming back for me. Like, oh, yeah, here he comes. But he never did. You know, I scared the shit out of him. But just running into them things, man. All the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing on time, but I want to hear every one of your guys' most memorable whitetail hunt. Buck, doe, otherwise. Bud, you're up.
All right. I remember all of them, but man, the most memorable
one of your top five most memorable. We'll make it easy.
Oh, but every hunt's memorable, man.
Fucking capo.
I mean, I guess this would actually be it'd be like my first whitetail hunt I went on. So I wasn't even shooting. I went with my dad. I was probably 10. I would say either 9 or 10 was when I started hunting with him. And we just hunted. We had this access to this little farm parcel. And pretty much what it was is just like a travel corridor. Because this was up in Lena where it's a lot of cropland with little wood plots around it. So as guys move around, deer just run from wood plot to wood plot. And this would have been when they first started the earn a buck. So we're sitting there, and pretty much our stand was, we had the farmer put a hay bale on top of the hill, and we stood next to the hay bale. We could literally shoot. He could shoot for like 200 yards all the way around him. Well, we're sitting there, and right away in the morning, we end up getting a couple of does come running across. So my dad's up, freaking fires, full on run. We had a hunt, this had to be over 100 yards. My dad freaking shoots. The freaking deer does a backflip. It's like, I don't even know where he hit, but he shot it, and it just sprung up in the air and freaking came down on his back. I'm like, this is like the first time I see my dad shoot a deer. You know, it's the first time, and I'm like, it was fucking awesome. You know, so I'm like, we're all jacked up like that, and we're sitting there, and we go, and he guts it out, and then we go back, and we're sitting there. And now I'm watching, we're just watching around because now he has his buck tag yet. And this was good 400 or 500 yards, just this little coulee in the center of this cornfield. And we see a deer running. And I'm sitting there, and I got my little set of binoculars. I'm watching it, and I'm looking at this deer, and I'm like, Dad, that's a buck. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I saw horns, Dad. I know that's a buck. So I see it run into the coulee. It comes out the other side. I'm sitting there, and it's just standing there. I'm like, Dad, I can see a horn. That's a buck. He's like, well, I don't think we can hunt over there. But just keep watching, y'all. Because then it stopped, and it turned around and ran back into this coulee. And this coulee is, if it's a 40-yard circle, I mean, that's it. That's all big this is. So he's like, well, just keep watching. I'll talk to Eddie. He's the guy that owned the land. He's like, we'll talk to him and we'll see if we can go over there. I'm like, all right. So I sat there. I mean, this was early in the morning still. I sat there and I never took my eyes off that coulee all day. Because I'm like, I wanted to know if that deer left or not. So we sat there and it got down to, it was probably about 2 o'clock or so. And, you know, he's like, you ever see that deer leave? I'm like, I never saw it leave. He's like, all right. So we go talk to Eddie. He's like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. They don't care. Go over there and shoot it. My dad's like, all right. So we drive over there. He parks his truck, and, you know, and he's like, you got to sit in the truck for this one. He's like, this is going to be kind of, you know, he's going to stalk it. So it's like he doesn't want this freaking 10-year-old kid stomping behind him, you know. My dad wanted me in the woods, but he also wanted to shoot the deer. He's like, if you know it's a buck, then I'll go in and get it. I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting there and I'm just jamming out to the radio in the truck and stuff like that. And, you know, and then, you know, probably 45 minutes later, my dad's walking back out. You know, and I'm like, oh, man, he must not have got it. You know, he's coming back already. You know, and my dad, he's kind of got the resting bitch face. He always had that skull on his face. You know, and he knew how to play it up too. So that's why I'm like, oh, he's not excited, whatever. You know, so I'm like, oh, so you didn't get it? Wasn't in there? He's like, well, didn't you hear me shoot? I'm like, no. Did you? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh. Did you get it? He's like, of course I shot it. You know, he was just that, my old man was cocky like that. Everything he shot, he got it. So then, yeah. So then we walked back out there, and this won't be for podcast viewing, but I'll go grab it. I don't care. But yeah, it's just this little tiny gnarly 7-pointer. But yeah, he was just I think he was more excited for it just for the simple fact that I sat there and I watched that buck all day and, you know, just to kind of please me, he went in and shot it.
That's a pretty memorable one.
Yeah.
Which fucking one was it?
All right.
Oh, it's this one right here. Yeah. Oh.
I can't tell if he's looking through horns or making pressure.
But yeah, it was actually, so yeah, it would have been a decent look. Can you guys see it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I just want to know, like, how badass was he? Because he busted off this point, busted this point. This one's nicked. This is busted. And obviously he just busted that whole beam right off. I'm like, how much of a badass would he? I mean, it's like literally every deer he went to, he fought.
Pretty much. Jesus.
So yeah, that was like my first time ever going out in the woods deer hunting. I'm like, fucking A. Because I want to say,
see him forever.
You know, I think it might not have been my first time out, but I think that was the first time my dad took me out on opening day. And I think that was where it was my first. That was my first time actually being able to go on opening day with him. Yeah.
That's a good story. That's awesome. That's memorable. No doubt about that. Who are you calling on next, Zeb?
Well, I'll go. I don't care. I got this one. It's actually one my wife shot. So, where is it? That one. Can you guys see it that well?
Yeah.
We can see the gist of it.
Yeah it's a nice 10-pointer. So this was her second buck, I think. So this was her third year hunting. And me and her, it's opening day, opening night, and we're hunting. There's this old cut that was probably like 5 years old at the time, right next to a bunch of oak trees. It was a little cut, probably like 5 acres. And I'd scouted it the year before. And I found like perfect bedding area. I was like, this is sweet. Had it all set up. Like, we're going to sneak in there. And I told her too, like, she's really good at like when I not really, how do I say this? She's really good at listening and taking everything like word for word when it comes to like learning how to hunt or how we think we should hunt. You know, no one ever really knows. But so we parked the truck. And I look, and there's a rub right next to the truck. And I look at her. I was like, I think I know where this guy's coming from. So we walk down the road. We get in there, and I told her anytime you make, like, break anything or whatnot, just, like, stop for a little bit because we're going to be really close to him when we set up. And long story short, she gets up in the tree in the climber, and I walk around, and I don't know, I'm a couple hundred yards away from her. And I seen a couple does. She's seen some does early, and then it's getting close to shooting time. You know, you don't text in the golden hour. And I get down, start making my way to her. And I get to her tree, and she's still up there. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? She goes, I shot a 10-pointer. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, I shot a 10-pointer. I was like, literally the exact quote. I was like, you're fucking me right now. Like, you didn't text me at all? She goes, well, I was so excited. And I knew it was, you know, the last half hour, so I didn't want to, you know, screw things up for you if your phone went off. I was like, oh, okay, like, if it was a 10-pointer, how big? He goes, well, it was a basket rack. And I was like, you counted all 10 points? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, what do you mean basket? And she's like, well, you know, like, because she heard me and my brother throwing out terms like that, like, oh, you could fit a basket in its rack. And I was like, oh, so this must be bigger than what I'm thinking right now. She goes, I was like, fuck. And I was like, all right, first off, that is not a basket rack. And so I still don't really believe her at this point. And I'm sitting there and I was like, all right, well, where was it standing? And she walks me or points me over there, and I find this granola bar in the trail. And I was like, well, here's your fucking granola bar. Drop that out of your pack. And she goes, no, I threw it because you told me to watch where the deer goes and mark his last spot. So I threw my granola bar in the direction of where the deer was. And I was like, ooh, clever girl. So now I'm like, okay, like, she's not messing with me anymore. Because I was close enough where I thought I might be able to hear a bow go off, but obviously I didn't. And long story short, we start finding blood, and sure as shit, like, we get up to it, and, you know, just a beautiful young 10-pointer, probably either a real nice big 2.5 or just, you know, a really good 3, whatever it is. It's probably, I don't know, 15-inch spread. You know, 120-inch buck, whatever it is. But, I mean, I was so freaking jacked up. Like, unbelievable. And see her reaction and just the little things that she did up in the stand to, like, you know, mark the last, throw a granola bar in the direction.
Yeah.
She saw
like, the deer. Who the fuck thinks of that?
Yeah, she did. And it was, yeah, it was awesome. Because, actually, my brother, that was the first year I didn't go out west with my buddies after our, like, annual out west trip. And my brother was actually at home cleaning elk, and we called him out. You know, we did the classic, oh, we shot a doe, come help me, you know, hang it up and everything. And she was standing in front of it, you know, and he comes outside and he's like, what the, you know, just all jacked up. And yeah, it that was a very, very exciting time. That was probably one of my most memorable, you know, her third year deer hunt. She shoots a 10 like that, and I'm just like, you know how many spikes and forks I killed? And how many years it took me to kill something with a rack on its head? Like, unbelievable.
God, that's a hell of a story.
So when in doubt, throw your granola bar at him.
Yeah.
That granola scent brings men, eh? I guess one of my more memorable hunts, I'm going to talk about my first archery buck. The story is not crazy or anything like that, but it was the first year me and my dad had access to this farm that we still have access to, and it's just a little 80-acre chunk. And it was, I remember, it was October 30th or 31st of 2015, and we head out, and I got in this preset stand that wasn't even ours, but we were using it because it was out on that private land, and my dad went to his ladder stand, and we're sitting, and, you know, beautiful morning, like, I think it was a little cloudy, but not much for wind, pretty decently warm for October, 45-50 degrees, so just a great morning. And I'm just sitting there, and I see movement to my left, and I'm like, holy crap, there's a doe right there. This is crazy. I can't believe this. And I'm getting all jacked up, and this is the first time I'll might have a shot at a doe or a deer with my bow. And I pull back, and I let the arrow eat, and I shot the doe at 27 yards and smoked her down instantly. Like, and my dad's about 100 yards away, and it's open timber, so he can pretty much see how the entire situation played out. Like, so, like, he's more jacked than I am, because he was able to hear, like, see everything, saw the deer cut through, you know, like, heard when my arrow, like, left my bow and spined the deer, so it's down instantly. And all of a sudden, like, all hell breaks loose. Like, we both just start yelling from our stands, like, I'm 100 yards away. Yeah, yeah. Like, and he's yelling from his stand, like, hell yeah. Like, woohoo. And, yeah, and I climbed down from this freaking ladder stand, and me and him didn't give a shit. Like, fucking safety harness is off. Let's haul ass. I'm running through this fucking muck and shit. He's running through it, and we just fucking jump up and just fucking hug. And I'm lifting him up in the air, and just like it was so cool, because like that was the first time I ever shot anything with a bow being like that close. Like, he's freaking jacked, I'm freaking jacked. And we ended up going over towards that deer and find out it was a little nubber. But I mean, fuck, man, that was a hell of a hunt. Like, just, I mean, nothing crazy, but just that first drawing blood with your first arrow, man, that was freaking cool. And I was tickled pink with that. And that's one of my more memorable hunts. Tonson?
Yeah, so I guess I'd have to go opening day in Wisconsin in 2019. This was a couple weeks before that wind incident. And I had just started hunting like January that year. That was the first time I ever deer hunted. And then I bought a crossbow and I was going to do archery. So I did all this work, made a little food plot on our little like 6 acres up north in Wisconsin. And my daughter, she was eight, and she had kind of talked about wanting a deer hunt. So I let her start shooting the crossbow, and she was pretty good. So I decided we went to hunter safety and did all that. And then, so opening day, I told her, you get the first chance. So we woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning opening day, 'cause I was so excited, and she popped right up, and, we walked out, and it took us a long time. 'Cause I mean, as much as I'd been in and out of that property, I'd never been in and out in the dark. And we had some really bad headlamps from, Walmart. So it was just kind of like a dull glow out ahead of us. And, I don't even know where we were. It was September 12th. So it was pretty warm that day. I'm like sweating like crazy. Finally, I just put everything down and I'm like, you just stay here. And I just went and walked around until I found the ground blind. 'Cause I mean, we were taking everything. We had, like tripod, we had like backpacks, snacks, everything, chairs, everything was coming in that morning. And, so we get there, and like, it's later than I wanted, but it was still like an hour and a half before shooting light. So, we're just kind of hanging out. She eventually gets tired, like about 6 o'clock, and she's like, I need to sleep. Like, she wanted to sleep. So I just kind of like held her, and I was just sitting there, and you know, the sun starts coming up, starts being a little bit light out. And, all of a sudden, like, I look up and there's this doe standing like 15 yards, like right in front of us. And I was like shaking her, like, come on, get up, get up, get up. And, so she like gets up and she's like sleepy. I'm like, there's a deer. And like, it's starting to move a little bit in front of us. And I go to pick up the crossbow and it hits like the, you know, the side of the ground blind, and makes that like the parachute pants noise as I'm like getting it. Well, that doe just like kind of like fast walks across the food plot, and I'm thinking, oh no, we're done. And I put the crossbow up on the tripod, and that doe, she could see it, and she said, it's coming back. I'm like, all right, you're ready. And I put the safety off, and that doe came right out in front. And I said, whenever you're ready, if you want to shoot it, go ahead. And she pulled the trigger, and I get that doe like did the, you know, the little mule kick and took off. And we gave it about 30 minutes and went out and looked at the bolt. And I wasn't sure. It was kind of darker blood than I was kind of thinking it should be. So I was like, well, we better give it some time. So we went into town and got breakfast and hung out and all this good stuff. And we came back and started walking, looking for blood. And like, we were following it pretty good. I mean, because I think it's because we were at like ground level, it didn't start bleeding for a little bit. And so she's the one who found it. It was only about 30 yards off of the food plot, and it had just fell. And like, we were just like ecstatic. And so we got it gutted out, took it to the butcher, and like, she's just smiling big, and There's these two guys in there, and I just remember this really good because, like, we're standing there, and she's, like, face paint on, all her camo, and I'm, like, you know, I'm paying for, you know, the processing and stuff, and these two guys look at me, and they just, like, point at her, and I was, like, shaking my head, and they just were like, oh, that's so awesome, like, good job, and so, like, that was just, I mean, that was the best. I mean, that I was more excited. I think we were both crying in the blind. It was just like nothing like any of these other deer that I shot. So
that's awesome. That's beautiful, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that day soon. Well, not soon, but
you got a little way.
Down the way. 8 years.
Yeah, you and Butter like in that like almost there, but not quite there. Like. Yeah, shit, that's good shit.
I'm gonna throw one more out there.
Well, one more story each. How about we favorite story or yeah, one more story each.
I was gonna do another memorial story.
All right, do that one. Let's do one more story each, though. Yeah, one more story each because we'll close up on 2 hours and I'll make it a two-parter.
Good job. So this one, I don't know if I told you guys, but this is gonna be my first whitetail story. My first one that I got. So I was 14 and me and my dad, our ritual was the weekend before we leave for Colorado, we would go up because we knew of a rifle range up north where it was free. So we would drive all the way up in Eagle River. So that's where we'd go to sight our rifles in. So we're driving up there and we had my little sister with me because my mom was working that weekend. So back at that time, it was a 3-hour drive to get up there. So an hour into this drive, my dad asked me, so he's like, are you going to deer hunt this weekend? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's the T-zone weekend. I'm like, I mean, I've got my orange vest. I got my tang on it, but I didn't plan for it. I'm like, I got my blue jeans, you know, and I got my Carhartt coat. And, you know, and they just got like 8 inches of snow up there. I mean, it was one of them early winters. I mean, this would have been the week before Halloween. And then we already got snow and stuff like that. And my dad's like, well, we're driving all the way up there. You might as well go and sit on the land. So, you know, kind of like Robert was telling with his son, you know, I'm like, well, I don't want to be a puss bag to my dad. Dad, I'll go out and sit. That's fine. So we go, we sight our rifles in, and I'm just going to go sit for the evening. He's like, okay, just go up this trail. There's a clearing. And, you know, and it was our land, so I knew the land pretty good, too. He's like, just go sit in that clearing, you know, and something comes out. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? He's like, well, I have your little sister. We're just going to go drive around and look for deer, I guess. I'm like, okay, all right. So there, he just drops me off, and... You know, I think I had a cell phone at that time. That was like when they were first coming out. So I'm like, all right. So I trounce out to the woods, blue jeans, Carhartt coat, and orange vest. Go find my little spot, and I go sit down. And I think I was only sitting there for probably 45 minutes or so. And I look off to my side, and I got this clearing, and off to my left it's kind of like a valley down there. And I glance over, I see some does cutting through. I'm like, oh. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking around, and, you know, and it's real thick because they clear cut that property probably 5 years before that. So it's nothing but like that fresh sapling, poplars, and stuff like that. So it's super thick. And I'm like, all right, well, then I kind of sit back and not being experienced whatsoever. But then pretty soon I look up, and at 40 yards, these does are coming right out into the clearing to me. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this ain't going to fucking work, is it? So I'm sitting there, I got my rifle up, and the first one comes out. I freaking put it right on its shoulder, pull the trigger. It runs off 40 yards and drops dead. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? I was like dumbfounded that this happened here. You know, and I'm sitting there and, you know, I see a drop, it's kicking, and I'm like, it's not registering yet because everything just happened so fast. So I get my cell phone out and I call my dad. He's like, why are you calling me already? You freaking cold? I'm like, no, I filled my tag. He's like, what do you mean you filled your tag? Oh, well, I shot a deer. He's like, you weren't supposed to shoot a deer. Like, well, what do you mean I'm not supposed to shoot a deer? He's like, we're leaving for Colorado in 4 days. How am I supposed to process a deer? I'm like, well, I shot a deer, Dad. He's like, well, good job. So he comes back. You know, he wasn't that far away at that point, and you know, he walks back there. He's like, well, did you see it go down? I'm like, yeah, it only ran like 30 yards. He's like, all right. But it ended up, it's probably like just a fawn. I think it was like a bigger fawn kind of deal, but it was my first whitetail, and he was just dumbfounded. Like, he didn't think that I was actually going to go out there, and let alone actually think that I was going to shoot something.
That's but, awesome.
Yeah. But as far as our family, that was the only deer we ever shot off that property the whole time we owned it. Shot at other deer, and we had other people go up there and shoot some deer, but I just felt like that was a big accomplishment, and I just love the fact that he got pissed off because I actually shot something, because now he's trying to scrounge around to process a deer in 3 days. So we're trying to get ready to leave for Colorado.
Nice. That's great. Ah. Now I can see why you have the resting bitch face, bud. I think that that runs in the family.
That's pretty awesome.
So my story is a fishing story. Me and my dad ended up heading up to this lake. It's called Miller Dam Flowage or Chequamegon Flowage up in kind of northwest, north central Wisconsin. And we get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning because we really want to fish this body of water. Because back when I was younger, I loved, my favorite fish to catch was largemouth bass. And this is one of the best bass fishing lakes in the state, supposedly. And we ended up leaving like 3 o'clock in the morning, got there for six, ended up fishing all day. Had a pretty good day actually on the lake, ended up catching quite a few quality bass. And we ended up loading the boat, and we got bit by mosquitoes like crazy. Like, I've never been bit by mosquitoes so crazy. And we start making our trek back, and this is those long summer days where you're getting off, the sunrise is like 6 a.m. and you're getting off at like 9 p.m. like one of those long days. We end up leaving at like 9:30, 10. So we have to drive all the way across the state. Well, we get to the city of Shawano, Wisconsin. And we got there right around midnight or so, I believe. And my dad notices that, hey, we got to get that gas in the van. And this was one of those... What van was it? It was a Chevy. It wasn't
an Astro.
Not an Astro. It was not a Santa Fe. Chevy. Man, I don't even. It was an ugly van. It was like a maroon color type van. But so he goes to the cash register and writes out a check. Well, cashier says no. If the checks aren't local, they're not accepted. So, my dad doesn't have any cash on him. My dad does not have any credit cards on him. So we're like, what do we do? And we're on E. We're like, we'll risk it. See if we can make it back to Green Bay. We leave Shawano. We're heading east on 29. Get about 5 miles out of Shawano. Fan stops running. Shit. What are we going to do? Well, we pull over. My dad was smart enough to grab some of those. He didn't have money to pay for even a freaking funnel. He gets some of those gas station cups, like, that hold, like, coffee, that are, like, that cheap paper funnel type shaped.
A filter?
Yep. Like, we're going to just rip off the bottom and use it as a funnel. We take the gas from the boat, which is mixed with oil, and we put it in the van. So we're on, and by this point it's 1, 2 a.m. and I'm like 10, and yeah, and the cars are just flying past us at 70 miles an hour, and we're freaking taking this boat gas and putting it in the car. And I don't know how much we got in the van, but we ended up making it home with gas from the boat. And yeah, we got home, like, it was like a 24-hour trip. Like,
just the shadow went back.
Oh man, freaking always make sure you got a credit card on you. That was a nightmare.
Dude, that's back in the day where, like, that was just first coming out.
Yeah, yeah. And my dad, he didn't know how to use credit cards at that time. So, yeah. So that was our Miller Dam shit show trip.
That was a fucking... Did you catch bass?
Oh, we caught bass. We did very well. We did really well. We caught big ones, too. So,
well, then it was well worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And it had a good, great story to go along with it. I mean, and the thing that made it was us, like, pouring the gas from the boat to the freaking van, and we were just laughing our asses off. Like, there was, like, we weren't freaking out or anything. It was just laughing our asses off, filling up the gas and the oil-filled gas to the van. Great. All right, Tonson, pressure's on you. You get to end it. This better be an epic story.
I don't really have many of those, but last year, I was fortunate enough to kill some deer early in the season, and that kind of ended my season. But my second deer last year was the first buck I've ever shot. And so that was October 3rd last year. And so I wasn't even going to hunt that day. It was a Saturday, and I went to go pick my daughter up because she had stayed at my parents' house the night before. And she said she didn't want to come home. So my parents said, you know, she could stay again. I was like, all right. So I came home, and I was sitting here for about 10 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to go hunt. So I got all my stuff together, and I went out to one of my county spots, the public land type of deals, and I took my saddle with me because the way this spot's set up is you pull into a dog park, and then you walk into the woods from the dog park, and it's like it was the one where you have to set a sticker, and that's your spot. So I didn't preset a stand. I just decided I was going to do my saddle in there. So, but you got to cross the Kishwaukee River, which, I mean, it's not really a river. It's mostly a creek, but there are some spots that are kind of deep. So I get back in there. I cross the river. I get to where my pin's at, and I set up in a tree, and I was up there for about 10 minutes, and the tree was maybe just a little bit bigger than a baseball. And I was like, nah, this isn't going to work. So I get down. I move back two trees to, you know, a pretty nice tree. And I'm just kind of sitting there. And it was actually kind of last year, early October, it was pretty cold around here. I mean, we were in like the 40s and 30s most of the time. And so I was just kind of up there watching. You know, I wasn't really expecting anything to happen. The way it's set up is I had kind of like a ridge up to my left a little bit and then a river down. So I was in the middle of this like decline. in the topography, and I looked over to my left and I saw this doe coming. Well, I had already shot an antlerless deer, so I wasn't going to try to shoot one. And I kept watching her, and like just a few steps behind her was this other deer coming, and I looked and it had antlers, and I got excited, and I got my bow. I was ready. And if they kept going, they were going to come about 20 yards in front of me. Well, that's exactly what they did. So I got drawn, and I stopped the deer. I put a shot right behind his shoulder, and he took off. And I don't even know how far he went, but from where I was, I could see him like kind of like stand up on his hind legs and then like kind of do that thing where they like get all screwy. And I saw him fall, and that, like, I was really excited, you know, being able to kill a buck. And, you know, it was a 2.5-year-old 8-pointer, so it wasn't anything special, but I ended up getting up to him, and he was all tangled up in a tree, and I had to drag him out across the river, and I got him across, and then I gutted him, and then I dragged him out, and I think I went through every burr patch on the way out, because I spent about 2 hours combing burrs out of his fur after I got home, because I wanted to get him mounted. So,
God, love those burrs.
Well, that's gonna wrap up the hunting story series. I thought it was a good idea by Zeb that we bring up some of these stories from our past. Some of them are humorous, some of them are sketchy. I don't know. They brought up a lot of great memories for all of us. And I'm sure they brought you guys some laughs. I'm not sure what the next episode's going to be, but hey, we're going to continue to come out with new podcasts and continue the fun. Thanks for listening.